Hello, everybody. Welcome to American Pale Males, your nerdy beer tasting podcast. I am Michael, and with me is the Duke of Dunkles.
Oh, no.
The Viceroy of Vices. I think a Viceroy is a good thing. I don't know. The Lord of Lagers.
Oh, boy.
It's the Milkman.
It's me. Shout out to Milk Nation. It's Mike. And with me is Michael. How you been?
I've been doing great because I recently went on a cruise. It went up to the Pacific Northwest.
Nice.
An area known for their fine brewing. And when I was in Astoria, Oregon, a small coastal town, also famous for having the Goonies house there.
Oh, ooh.
I went to a place called Fort George Brewing. And I had a flight there with 8 brews total.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was really nice. I guess some highlights. They had one called Hulk Smash, which was an IPA with just one hop and one malt.
Oh, cool.
And so that was kind of interesting to try. Just to compare and contrast that with something, an IPA.
Sure.
That has, you know, those citrusy flavors and all these different malts and stuff. This was right. Really straightforward type IPA. Had a couple other IPAs there that were not too bad. Their Suicide Squeeze was a little more citrusy. They had a Vit, a lager, Scotch Ale. But my favorite was one called Goza Bump in the Night.
Okay.
Which was a Goza. But it was a dark Goza, which I've never seen before. So this was dark brown color right. That you'd expect from like a brown ale or even getting into stouts almost. But it didn't really taste dark and malty. I don't know. It was a flavor that I'd never had before, and that's why I really liked it. It was something completely different. So it had Goza qualities, but also a slight malty qualities without being too dominated by that malty flavor. So really interesting. So had a lot of fun with that place.
Yeah. I've had one from Exile called the Rise of Ziggy Sourdust, which was a dark Berliner Weiss.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was like a... It's very similar, yeah. Dark, weird, kind of matches the sourness with the chocolatiness.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Something I definitely would look for again. That was from Exile. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to be on the lookout for some more of those. Maybe it's a kind of category that's increasing in popularity.
Mm-hmm.
So, how about you, Mike? What is your beer brag?
Well, mine also has to do with a trip I took down south to, first of all, to Des Moines to visit friend of the show Doug and his wife, Kate, their new baby. We went to the Iowa Tap Room and had some really good stuff there. And then actually we went back to their place and then had Odell, which I think just recently came to Iowa. And they had a peach or tree shaker, which was a peach double IPA, Imperial IPA. It was really, really good, really tasty. And then the rest of the trip was, like I mentioned before, went to San Antonio to visit a father-in-law with my wife. And we went to down in San Antonio. It was really cool. They have we stayed in their Airbnb, which is like right behind their house. So we kind of had our own place, which was awesome. Really nicely done. And when we walked in, he kind of opened the fridge in there in the kitchenette and showed me there's 5 beers sitting there. And so he had gotten some local Texas beers. And so it was pretty cool. Really delicious stuff. I had like a Flanders, a Red Flanders, a Winter Warmer, Berliner Weiss. But my favorite of these was actually it was from Oklahoma, actually, not from Texas. He had gone to the store and asked for local beers and everything. So it was from Oklahoma. It was the Prairie Bomb. I'll read you the description here. It was the description is, Bomb is an imperial stout aged on Nordaggio's espresso beans, chocolate, vanilla beans, and ancho chili peppers. All the flavors meld to create a truly unique beer. The peppers add just the right amount of heat to complement the intense coffee and chocolate flavors. So that was really good. The heat that the chilies added wasn't like too crazy or anything. It was just perfectly complementing the chocolate notes. And, you know, it's like you hear you put chili powder in like a chocolate cake to really, yeah, make the flavors better. So,
oh
yeah. So yeah, that was
Prairie
yeah.
Bomb, right? That I've heard of that before. I heard that's supposed to be
yeah, it
amazing.
Was, it, yeah, it was delicious.
That is, that's actually one of my chase beers. I heard somebody talk about it on a podcast I listened to, and yeah, I want to try that sometime.
Yeah.
So that's cool that you got to try that.
Yeah, it was really good.
Nice. So you've had some really good beers lately.
Yeah, I've been pretty lucky.
Yeah, I don't know if you can even get it like around here. I think it's kind of harder to get.
Oh.
We'll have to keep our eyes peeled, maybe.
Absolutely.
Nice. Well, that's excellent. Mike, I think it's about time we breach a subject, though. New season of Game of Thrones. I think we need to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah.
Watch the Thrones is back.
Watch the Thrones. That's right. Yeah, Michael, I know you have another podcast, and I know you mentioned you used to have a segment called Flame of Thrones. Is that something that we could adapt?
I hope not, because I hated that segment. every week, for those listening, me and the co-host, Jack, would have a competition where we would each try to count the number of flames in the episode. So candles, fire, dragon fire, torches, like any little flame we'd count. And then there'd be a third party who would, his count would be the official count, and whoever got closest would win. And we thought, oh, there'd be like, yeah, like 10, 20 flames an episode. But there's these scenes with like candelabras with like 20, 50 candles in them, and there's like four of them in a scene. It's like, I can't do this.
Right. Yeah, I would imagine you can't even really watch the show. You're just like looking for flames.
That is very true. And yeah, I would just watch the episode once and take estimates, but Jack would always watch it, you know, just to watch it. And then he'd go through again, like pausing it and trying to count all these little individual flames on the screen. I'm like, I don't want to do that.
But, right.
So I'm just like, I guess there's like 200. And he's like, I got 450. Oh, no. It's a great show to have back. I think it's the first few episodes, it felt like the wheels were spinning a little bit. But now they're starting to get some payoff. Some plot lines are coalescing a little bit, which is nice to see finally. It's too early to like say whether it will be a good season or bad season or mediocre season, obviously. But overall, I'm pleased to have it back. Mm-hmm. It's a nice highlight to Sunday night. Finishing off the weekend with Game of Thrones is always nice. I don't know. I don't want to get too spoilerly here, but certain characters, you know, everyone's favorite character came back. Well, wait, scratch that.
Everybody knows.
Last season, he ended in a cliffhanger. And mm-hmm. I don't really, that character never really captivated me. So I'm like, okay, great. All right.
Yeah, we, like you said, it's a nice cap to the end of the week. We do that at a friend of the show, Jake's house, every Sunday. He's the only one who has HBO, so we go watch it there. Now, Michael, you are not someone who is reading the books, right?
That is correct.
Okay, so we're all kind of caught up.
At this point, yeah.
Yeah, so everybody's kind of on the same page at this point. Yeah, it's kind of fun not knowing what's going to happen at all from a, you know, even a book reader standpoint. But I've really been enjoying the season so far in general. You know, it's been a lot of exciting stuff happening, a lot of, like you said, reunions. And I just can't wait to see where it goes next. So far, really enjoying it. I'm more of a plot guy than a character, or not so character, but more. I'm more of a plot guy than a details guy. So seeing where things are going is more exciting to me than, you know, finding out what someone ate for dinner, which happens a lot in the books. I feel like a lot of food descriptions.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I've really been enjoying it. Can't wait to keep watching it. It's a great way to cap off the weekend before you have to go back to work. There's right now there's two characters that I'm really excited.
Oh yeah, yes.
The Tormund and Brienne.
Shipping them.
Yeah, really, really like shipping them together, as the kids say. So pretty.
That was a funny scene. Yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of sizing each other up. So yeah, just some fun details so far, and yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, I guess to just cap off Game of Thrones. Well, I'm definitely going to be watching this whole season. I think especially last night's episode helped seeing some of those plot points coalesce. Some reunions happened that I'm like, okay, there seems to be working towards something now in this season, rather than spinning the wheels. But
yeah, definitely a season to watch. I'm really looking forward to seeing the rest of it.
I also wanted to mention for the rest of Week in Geek, I did finally see Captain America: Civil War.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen it yet?
Oh, good. I have not seen it yet.
Oh, okay. Have you been keeping up with the movies at all?
I think I saw Hulk 2.
Oh, boy. What a great...
but I get it.
Yeah, so this was an excellent movie. They really managed to balance all the characters well, all the old and new. There's this amazing fight kind of towards the end in a hangar.
Okay.
Which is pretty awesome, very well choreographed, a lot of cool action. Spider-Man is great. It's just excellent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about it other than that it's great.
Yeah.
Is it something you're planning to see, or do you... not really get into this stuff, or
I never really watched those movies. Just it's not like any animosity or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm familiar with the characters at least. It's not like Spider-Man shoots web. I didn't know that. So yeah, I think this one might be one I will be checking out actually. So
say superhero movies aren't really your bag.
My bag. No, it's okay. I just never got around to doing it. Oh, my bag.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I ham-fisted that up.
What an amazing segue. I think it's time, Michael, for the pale mailbag.
The mailbag.
Yes. So why don't you reach in there?
All right. Let me get this here.
Almost forgot.
In fact, yes. The door. I almost ran into it. All right. I am logging the password into the mailbag now. I put some extra security features on it.
Oh, wow. You better tell me the password later.
Okay. So we did get a piece of mail from aforementioned friend of the show, Jake.
Mm-hmm.
Subject line, I might have to quit your podcast.
Always what you want to hear from a fan.
Right. So maybe enemy of the show, Jake? I don't know. And he cited the reason why he says this is he says, Mike doesn't like Yum Nub and Michael likes Jedi Rocks? ! And then he put then he put the lyrics to Yum Nub in there. It almost looks like Google put it in there by itself because it's like a different font. So
yeah, I'm sure it was like A to Z lyrics or something like that.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I don't know what it is about lyric sites that always seem to have like 80 million pop-ups. I don't know if that's a shady practice.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I guess I don't like Jedi Rocks in the context of the remastered trilogy. I just like it. Maybe as a standalone, because, yeah, the little guy is annoying, and
yeah.
Jabba's palace is not supposed to be upbeat. And I realize somebody, like, gets eaten during that scene, which totally contrasts with the song. I don't know. It just doesn't work at all. But
yeah, I think at the end, the Sai Sunal says, uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it ends.
Yeah.
And I think the original had a much more... I don't know, it just fit with that scene better than this weird
right
Muppet running, not even Muppet.
I should say too that I don't hate Yum Nub. I like the instrumental thing more, I guess. There's definitely a place for Yum Nub. So next I'll go on to a friend of the show, Aaron, sent us a piece as well. This is titled Dry Hopping.
Oh, good. Okay.
And it says, hey, Mike and Michael, on the May 10th episode, you discussed making a beer exclusively through dry hopping. I wouldn't recommend this. As you mentioned, while the beer would smell great, it would lack bitterness and probably be terrible, and Leaning Dog Brewery will not be using such precious hops for such an experiment. However, hop bursting is a technique that has grown in popularity in recent years. It involves using minimal hops early in the boil in favor of a massive amount of hops in the last 10 to 15 minutes of the boil. The quantity of hops used makes up for the lack of time boiled to provide the bitterness needed for the beer. Another popular trend is whirlpool additions, which involves adding hops for 20 to 30 minutes or more post-boil after the wort cools to around 180 to 190 degrees. This can add bitterness while also adding aroma on par with dry hopping. A beer using a combination of hop bursting, whirlpool additions, and dry hopping can be made without doing a full 60 to 90 minute boil, and will result in a beer with lots of aroma, flavor, and a nice bitterness. In fact, my pseudo Sue clone you tried on the show had only a 20 minute boil. Cheers! So thanks, Aaron, for that piece of mail. Definitely less antagonistic than the last one. And bringing some much needed expertise to this podcast. And I should mention too, as we record
our most
this
informative email to date, maybe.
Yeah, that's right. I should mention as we record this that it is a friend of the show, Aaron's birthday. So happy birthday, Aaron. Hope you're having a good one. Hope you enjoyed this little shout out. So yeah.
That's very cool. Hop bursting sounds something I would like, because it would be very flavorful hops versus very bitter hops. So
yeah, definitely.
Into that.
Right. Yeah, that would be kind of your ideal. Michael, I think it's time.
Time for the FDR mic.
That's right. This is where we
Yeah.
This is where we find a beer, we drink a beer, and we rate that beer. It's been a while since I've messed that up and said find a drink, drink a drink, rate a drink. But FDR, the new deal. And Michael, why don't you tell the folks at home what we're having today?
Today we have we're going back down south, continuing that series as we sprinkle those in. We have Red Brick Brewing Company Chai Spice Milk Stout, the Divine Bovine. And Mike, let me tell you a little bit about this brewery and this beer before we tuck in to this one.
Excellent. I'm all ears.
All right. So Red Brick Brewing Company, drinking greatness. Red Brick, just a little motto there. So this is a company that's headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia, claims to be Georgia's oldest operating craft brewery. It all started when a former Guinness executive founded the Atlanta Brewing Company in 1993, and they had a flagship beer that was called Red Brick.
Okay.
And since then, they have expanded. They've done collaborations with some Belgian breweries, growing bigger in the Atlanta and Georgia area, expanding into the southeast part of the country as a whole. They partnered with this Vortex Bar and Grill to have kind of some eatery options. And
nice.
They base some beers based on like that Vortex logo. If you look on their website, they have a kind of crazy logo.
Okay.
Beer named after that bar and grill.
Okay.
But you're probably wondering, where does Red Brick come in besides
yes.
the beer? In 2010, they changed their public name to the Red Brick Brewing Company, kind of going back to that original ale. And it also harkens back to after Sherman's March in the Civil War, when Atlanta was burned to the ground. The mayor of Atlanta said the city would rise from the ashes like a phoenix and would be rebuilt one red brick at a time.
Oh, nice history.
So, Red Brick comes from that quote. We're having a can today, and that was recent. In 2015, they introduced cans to the lineup, which we'll be enjoying shortly here.
Okay.
And so, yeah, they have a few seasonal offerings and a few year-round offerings. And so we can get into the Divine Bovine Chai Spice Milk Stout. I'm going to do the lazy man approach and read the description on the website. It was a pretty good one about what's in here, and what exactly chai spices are. So appease your divine nature and drink in the mysteries of this milk stout brewed with organic chai spices. Dark chocolate notes combined with an exotic blend of ginger, cardamom, I don't know how to say that one, black pepper, clove, cinnamon, and which is softened by the milky sweetness of lactose. Meant to be revered, this handcrafted stout may produce spontaneous moonlight mooing. Looks like it already did for you, Mike. Awaken your chakras or set you sailing on your own passage to India. So we have an ABV of 6%, IBU of 25.7.
Mm-hmm.
They noted on the website that the hop variety in here is Willamette.
Okay.
And although looking at this can here, it's kind of real basic. It's kind of like this purple with some red accents.
Yeah, like a purple brick wall.
Yeah, kind of like a improv comedy club. The bottle itself is really cool looking. It has like some Hindu type artwork. Pretty cool looking, or maybe it's cultural appropriation, whichever you want to prefer there. But yeah. So
yeah, Michael, I noticed that the bottle has different art, doesn't have an animal on the can. How does that make you feel?
Maybe it just wasn't feasible to do on the can. So I'll give them a pass on that, because maybe you're only limited to four colors on your can color palette or something.
Oh, sure.
So yeah.
Now that's kind of interesting that the brewery is the same name as like their flagship beer. I'm trying to think of other ones that do that aside from the big domestics. Guinness, I guess, is one of them, which makes sense since, you know, one of the people came from there.
Right. Yeah. So the beer was like 1994 and then the name change was 2010.
Okay.
So,
So yeah, that's kind of curious.
Right. Yeah. And actually I should check, and I don't know if that beer is still in their lineup or if it got renamed. Oh. Yeah. Actually, I didn't see it offhand. I might be way off base here.
That seems strange to...
to have the Red Brick?
Yeah, not have the Red Brick when that's the name of your company. Maybe it's come a long way since then.
You know, I'm scrolling through. I don't see it immediately on their website, to be honest with you here, Mike.
Huh.
Maybe it's only on tap or something, but yeah, I don't...
Have more
see
faith
it here.
Have so. More faith in your flagship beer, Red Brick.
Now, Mike, do you like chai tea?
I haven't really had that much of it. I think I had it several years ago, and I liked it. I just that's something I reach for.
Yeah, it's just
it's nice from what I remember.
Right. Same here. Yeah, I don't really go for herbal teas too much, but when I've had chai tea, it's been delicious.
I think I've actually had a chai tea beer before, if I remember correctly.
Oh.
I want to say it was by like JP Brewing or something.
Okay.
It was a chai tea porter, I believe. It was really tasty from what I remember. It comes in a can as well. It has some kind of animal and man combination on the front, like some of the other beers we've had. But yeah, it was really good. I think it's actually in Wisconsin.
Oh, I've never heard of them. Interesting.
Yeah, so I recommend checking that one out if you can find it. They also have like a white stout. Really strange. Hmm. Yeah.
Curious. Well, interesting sidebar there. So this is my first time venturing into the chai world, so yeah.
Okay. Welcome. So. Just taking the can down, doing a little tap on here.
Through taps?
Yeah.
Don't explode it again.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm a little gun-shy about cans now.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm pouring it here. It has a real, almost like Coca-Cola-like color as it pours,
which
is ironic because of Atlanta.
Sure.
It looks pretty thick, too, as I'm pouring it, but...
Yeah, I feel like if you poured this into a glass without telling somebody, they could be confused that it would be a Coke, but wow, yeah, this is totally opaque.
Yeah. It's pretty dark.
Yeah for sure. Dark. Got a nice thick brown head on here.
Yeah, me too.
I'm noticing some smells here. Get a little bit of that spice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a little bit of the...
Maybe some spiciness there.
Yeah, kind of the... Almost like a wheat beer smell to me. Yeah.
Kind of like a little pepperiness or clove. Maybe it's the clove there.
Yeah, very interesting. So, Michael, you brought it, so you ought to take a drink.
All right, I'm looking forward to this.
Yes.
Here I go.
Yeah, this is, I'm looking forward to hearing what you say. And the verdict?
Hmm.
Yeah, hmm?
Well, that's a pleasurable sensation.
What a description and a review. Pleasurable sensation. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, go ahead. For me, it really starts off pretty much like a stout, but then it's like this little bevy of spiciness as you know, you drink it down.
Hmm.
And then after it's gone.
Yeah. After it's gone, I wish there was more. Yeah, it's nice. It's got a roastiness. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and get a little bit of that spice in there. It's drinking really nice.
And they're not too bold that they're...
Yeah, the spices are, subtle.
Yeah, it's more subtle than I thought it would be.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's good.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's got some nice thick mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm.
Really goes down smooth.
Yeah, as I take a few more drinks, I'm getting more of the stout and less of the spiciness. I don't know if I need to let it breathe a little bit.
Sure.
Let that get off my tongue and kind of reset.
Right. Yeah, it's Yeah, it's quite good. Yeah, I'm kind of getting a little bit more flavor as we keep going.
That is good, though.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely good. It's
getting a little more bitter too after the first few.
Yeah, I could see that. It's kind of, you get a little bit of different flavor each sip. Kind of trying to get figure out what some of those spices are that they mentioned. The cinnamon or whatever.
Right.
What are you picking up? Anything like that? It's tough. I mean, mm-hmm. each time you get a little bit different.
Yeah, I'm trying to see what spices I can pull out of there in specific.
Mm-hmm.
I do get a little bit of the cinnamony.
Yeah.
Flavor, a little bit of the clovey, but I think I don't necessarily get peppery from it though.
No, I don't really either.
Or ginger, maybe those are more.
More muted or something like that. What I try to do this time is put it, swirl it around in my mouth a little bit before I just guzzle it back.
Uh-huh.
And I think that seems to be, an easier way to, let it wash over your tongue a little bit, get a little bit more of those flavors so you can get a little more grasp on the taste mm-hmm. rather than just throwing it back, opening your throat and drinking it.
Yeah, actually, I took your advice, Mike. I kind of let it go around my tongue more rather than just throwing it down the gullet,
mm-hmm.
as we so often do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you do pick up some more spiciness when you do it that way. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, maybe it's a more of a easy sipping type beer.
Sure.
To get some of that complexity.
Right.
It's a milk stout, but it's not super sweet, in my opinion.
No, not sweet, but it definitely gives you a smoothness.
It is, yeah. It's not too spicy, not too sweet. Right,
yeah,
the amount of malt. Right,
right
amount,
really
so,
really nicely balanced.
Yeah, it's
really, really tasty. Kind of get everything at once, kind of, I guess.
Yeah, one of those complex beers that kind of changes
mm-hmm.
based on how you drink it. And I like when a stout has like a little extra dimension to it.
Right. The fifth dimension.
That, whether it's nitro or something smoky or something sweet,
Yeah,
spicy.
I think this would be excellent as a nitro. Just delicious.
That'd go down real smooth.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's just something about stouts and nitros together. It's just the perfect pairing. Amazing.
Yeah.
It's like
a match made in heaven.
Yeah, there you go, beer heaven. Michael, I think it's time for the R.
R time.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And you brought it, or you drank it, so you rank it, baby.
Okay. I'll get into the SOJ here.
Mm-hmm.
The
Please
sip
do.
Of judgment.
All right, I'll be kicking this back for myself. I'm really enjoying it so far.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to put a finger on exact rating because it changes every time I drink it based on.
Mm-hmm.
If I let the flavor linger, if I take a big gulp, if I take a little sip.
Big gulps. See you later.
Big gulps. So, let's see. I will give it a Wavering between two ratings.
Mm.
I'll give it a 3.75.
Okay, that's a respectable score. Yeah.
Like I said, I like a stout that has a little bonus feature to it, I guess. Yeah. Glad to get on the chai train.
Chai train?
Yeah, chai Thai train to Thailand and right. India. Mike, what do you think?
I'm really enjoying this. I don't think I even need to go in for SOJ, although I will, because I enjoy this very much. It's nice complexity. Really like every time I take a sip, I like those different flavors, nice spices, sure. Nice smokiness to it. Kind of takes me back to, I used to go to jazz nights in a place near here, and they had a straight pipe stout that was a nice smoky, more smoky than this, but really, really delicious, nice pairing with jazz. So it's kind of taken me back.
Yes. Nice.
So maybe some nostalgia points, I guess, for that. But I think I'm going to, let me give it the sip of judgment here. Yeah, I think I got to give it a 4 stars. Yeah, it's quite good. Michael, what can I, so what did you, you don't think it's good enough? What's the deal?
I was going between 3.75 and 4.
Okay.
I think it's good. Mm-hmm. I think I just was expecting a little more sweetness and smoothness.
Okay. Kind of.
And it's
the
a
name.
Little more bitter than I thought it would be.
Oh, the bitterness.
Maybe it was that one sip of judgment that was a bitter taste, but I mean, I can definitely see a 4. I won't change my rating because I want to be a.
I respect that you rate with your heart.
Prudent host, but I'll keep it at 3.75. But
Michael, this could have been our first mug club.
Oh, that's right, our new.
Our new upper echelon.
Upper echelon of beers.
So yeah, well, I won't sway you. Your
right.
Your convictions are strong, and I'm fine with that. I applaud you.
It also might taste really good on tap, I bet too.
Oh, sure.
That might also seal the deal as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good, Mike. Another one down the gullet, mm-hmm. or slowly across the palate, I guess, as we did.
And this time,
But I think for now, I brought the beer, as you mentioned. So
yes, you did.
I'm in the clear.
That's right. So
why don't you go ahead?
Yep. Let me take over the social media. So APM Pod is your destination for all things APM Pod. We have APM Pod at Gmail. If you want to send us an email like Jake or Aaron did, less antagonistic is great if you can. There's also APM Pod on at APM Pod on Untapped, Facebook.APM Pod. You can actually, you know what? I'm going to post right now. What I've been thinking about, we need to do some more outreach, Michael. I'm going to post, hey, what things do you want us to try that we haven't tried yet? A brewery or a beer. I mean, we haven't even done Sam Adams yet. So, reach out to us on Facebook. We're on iTunes. Please leave us a review. 5 stars if you can. That makes the show more visible to other people that, you know, we don't know personally, which I feel like is our entire listenership right now. I know there's at least, usually I see on the feed, there's like at least between 40 and 60 people. So we have 9 reviews on iTunes so far. So if we can bump that number up, that would be awesome. And thanks in advance. Otherwise, Untapped, APM Pod is our username there, and we're also on Stitcher and Google Music. So I think that's it, Michael, unless you have anything else that I missed. You know, Michael, I was just thinking, too, I think there's that Facebook Live thing now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if we could do something with that, make people watch us drink beer.
That's right.
down the gullet live.
Yeah, we'll have to investigate doing something like that, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Periscope it or something, or
sure,
Facebook
sure, sure.
Live or whatever.
Right. I also have to thank you, Michael, for doing all these awesome pictures with Ray Cerveza, although this latest one, he seems to be drowning.
He's been resuscitated.
Oh, good, good.
He did jump into a beer after finding out the Flash edition was not in... You know, it was Green Flash. It wasn't an edition for a Green Flash character, so...
Now, Michael, I want to know, and the fans want to know, where is US Beer? Where's he at? Where's the guy?
I don't know where he is. He's in a drawer somewhere.
Are you kidding?
He might be in a computer at somebody's work for all I know.
Oh, boy. Well, I always thought that US Beer could kind of be my thing, like, you know, Ray Cerveza is your thing, but I guess we'll just throw that out the window.
I'll look for him.
Okay, thank you. Him. Thank you. So, yeah, I think that's another one down the gullet.
Okay.
So, I guess with that, Michael, we can wrap it up. Yeah. So, like we always like to say, for Michael, I'm Mike.
And for Mike, I'm Michael.
And you've been listening to American Pale Males. Cheers.
Cheers.